Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP First Half 2016 Financial Results Conference Call. Please note that a PDF presentation for the results is now available on OPAP's website, www.opap.gr, under the section for Investor Relations. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Camille Ziegler, OPAP Chairman, Executive Director, Mr. Damian Cope, OPAP Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Michael Hoost, CFO, Executive Director. Mr. Ziegler, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us in the first conference call held in the new premises, headquarter premises of OPAP. I am glad to once more welcome you to OPAP's first half year financial results conference call, and this is the first time for me in the position of the Executive Chairman of the Board. Almost three years ago, when we first came to OPAP, we started a long journey to what proved to be a path with unseen macro challenges and series of business and regulatory crossroads. We firmly believe that we set the foundations of making this company a true national champion that not only withstood the challenges, but also improved decisively its operating capacity and delivered higher than expected material returns to all stakeholders, at the same time standing by our key role to the society. As you already know, having in mind almost completed large-scale international restructuring of our company, and with aim to enforce further development, business development of our company, the Board of Directors has elected unanimously Mr. Damian Cope as the OPAP new CEO as of July the 1st, since we believe he has the ideal experience in the sector and proven international track record. His accomplishments are essential for making OPAP a stronger, well-positioned enterprise. The Board has every confidence in the new strategy of the firm, which will be demonstrated by Damian this afternoon. The Board is also convinced that together with the executive team, we will be able to deliver the priorities that will be presented. In a nutshell, we believe that a special emphasis will be placed on sharpening the company's focus on achieving sustained and strong operating performance. I am glad now to turn the conference to Mr. Damian Cope. Of course, I am here, and if there are any questions responded to me, I will be glad to answer them. Damian, please. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Camille, and good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, I would just like to thank Camille and the team once again for the major progress achieved over the last three years. OPAP has undergone a significant transformation and is now very much ready for the next phase of its successful development. I've been in the position of Chief Executive of OPAP for exactly 2 months now, and today I would briefly like to take you through my initial findings, the summary conclusions of my review of the business, and outline what I see as the long-term strategic priorities. Before doing that, however, I'd like to hand the conference over to our CFO, Michael Hoost, who will provide you with a brief summary of our performance for the recent quarter.
Thank you, Damian. Good afternoon, everybody. As you know, it goes without saying that OPAP's prospects analysis should take into account the overall macro conditions. Starting with an overview of the macro picture in H1, stagnation was evident on GDP figures, which was down by 0.9%. More importantly, set aside GDP, year-to-date figures depict an even higher decline of private consumption, which was even further 1.9% down in Q1, which in turn led to an 8% dip in retail sales, which with even defensive segments such as supermarkets, pharmas, etc., exhibiting material drop rates. OPAP was no exception, with H1 GGR dropping by 2.6%, albeit staying broadly flat at -0.8% in the second quarter of the year. going forward, and we hope that we will prove wrong, but hard facts indicate that this environment will continue. The fiscal measures voted in the second quarter of the year, along with the ones that will come next year as well, are oriented towards pension cuts and additional tax contribution from individuals, which will inevitably further burden disposable income and private consumption. When assessing our financials in Q2, despite the minor drop on GGR, EBITDA declined by a materially higher 26.5% on the back of the retroactive increase of the GGR contribution, which was raised from 30 to 35% as of January the 1st. Adjusting for this increase, the like-for-like EBITDA in Q2 actually increased by 3.7%, keeping OPAP on the path of operating growth, operating profitability growth. The increase, which comes on the back of continuous cost monitoring and one-off income of 6.5 million related to legal provision reversal, is also more meaningful when taking into account both the full consolidation of the horse races, still at the early stage of operations, and as such still loss-making, but also the continuing enhancement of the company's workforce. As for the balance sheet, our cash pile amounted to 291 million, and our net debt position came in at 55 million, remaining strong despite the distribution back to our shareholders of ordinary and extraordinary dividend during the course of this year. On top, we have announced that we will also pay an additional interim dividend of 12 cents per share or 38 million in October. Taking this opportunity, I would like to also restate our intention to distribute the bulk of the free cash flow back to the shareholders should no new significant investment opportunities come. Going to the individual segments performance, lotteries growth remained positive for yet another quarter with or broadly flat with 0.2% in Q2 and 1.3% for the whole first half. Instant and passives, on the other hand, declined by 9.5%, slightly improving the performance of the first quarter, but still staying at negative ground. Turning to sports betting, the segments reversed the drop experienced in the past couple of quarters, staying flat year on year, with the Euro Cup providing a small boost. That said, the game on like-for-like downward trends has the game is still on like-for-like downward trends, and this has not been reversed. On our end, we are working on constant modernization of the game through new content, which will be coupled with the revamp of the digital offering. But this is something that Damien will touch in more detail as part of his overall assessment. So, thank you, and I hand over to Damien.
Thank you, Michal. I'd now like to take you through the headlines of my business review, copies of which are available on our investor relations website and should have been mailed to you. It deliberately includes no financial forecasts, as it's too early for that, but it does set out a clear strategic direction for the organization. You'll also notice a strong football theme, as football betting is a core product of ours, and improved teamwork is a principle that I intend to establish within the company. There's no question that OPAP is a special company that has a unique place in Greek life. It is a company that for the last 58 years has been successfully bringing gaming entertainment to the citizens of Greece and more recently in Cyprus. But today OPAP finds itself right in the middle of the most challenging period in its history. In economic terms, as already mentioned by Michal, the country continues to struggle under multiple waves of tax increases and austerity cuts. OPAP's customers, like all other consumers in Greece, continue to suffer, while last but not least, our company has recently had imposed on it an increase in GGR tax to 35%, the highest rate in Europe and one of the highest rates of gaming tax anywhere in the world. At the same time, our legal rights remain under unreasonable attack. First, in relation to VLTs, where we continue to push our claims through the International Court of Arbitration. I must admit, like most others, I struggle to understand why we are where we are today. The VLTs project will generate several thousand jobs, raise significant income for the Greek state, give a boost to the construction and commercial property markets, and put in place a safe, regulated market for consumers. OPAP is still very much ready to resume the project, but only on the condition that a reasonable and balanced regulatory framework is put in place, one that secures public interest and revenues, and at the same time allows the VLT's business to be viable for OPAP and its partners. In relation to digital gambling, our legal right to exclusivity continues to be undermined by a messy and unclear situation. Aside from the financial impact to OPAP, the dangerous consequences of this chaos, as with VLTs, are that consumers are not being properly protected and the country is losing significant tax revenues from operators at a time when it needs them most. Both these issues also mean that on a daily basis we continue to face illegal gambling activity from operations both in territories overseas and within Greece. We are in 2016 and this is clearly an untenable situation. In case there is any doubt, I can confirm that we will continue to take whatever steps we deem necessary to protect our legal rights and interests. Since I joined the organization, I've spent a considerable amount of time talking with and listening to our people, both OPAP employees and our agents, and our customers. I've visited many of our shops in various regions of Greece and in Cyprus, and have spent time understanding the issues that seem to be the most important for our customers and our people. From this, I see a company of two sides, or two halves, to continue the football analogy. The first illustrates a large, well-known and trusted organization that maintains the largest network of any retailer and a presence in every local community. The second, more inward-looking, is a company that has the opportunity to improve its financial performance, especially on the top line. It needs to become much more customer-centric. It needs to improve its product portfolio, especially in the area of sports betting. As part of my review, I've also clarified the various stakeholder groups with whom OPAP works closely. During this process, it became clear that we need to change the traditional relationship that has existed with our agent network. In the future, our agents will be considered alongside our employees, and together they will be considered within the stakeholder group known as our people. They are our ambassadors and have a direct relationship with our customers, both with those that play in our shops and those that play online. Looking long term then, our vision for 2020 is really quite simple. We intend to establish ourselves not just as a large and profitable gaming company in Greece as we are today, but across many measures as a world-class gaming entertainment company. Three elements to that. First is our core values, and again, these will be developed with our people over the next few months. They will help develop a consistent culture. The second is some strategic priorities, and I've identified eight of these that will guide our activities for the next few years to 2020 and beyond. If I may, I will briefly summarize each of them. The first is around the customer. We are a consumer-facing business serving millions of customers across Greece and Cyprus. It's fair to say, though, that we need to be much more customer-centric, and we have more work to do in this area. We will achieve this by investing into deeper insights of our players, increasing our internal focus, and introducing an enhanced customer relationship scheme. This effort will be accompanied by the appointment of a new chief customer officer and a dedicated team that will establish and monitor customer KPIs. The second is around our network. Our network is very much the backbone of our organization, with millions of customer visits every week, and each shop acting as the heartbeat of every local community. We intend to put in place a plan that will change the nature of our relationship with the agents and the network. And this plan will increase the level of investment in our shops and our products, raise the support for our hardworking, loyal, and entrepreneurial agents, lead to footprint optimization, and in the end, align all of our interests. A new store concept is expected to be introduced in 2017, while we'll also roll out self-service devices and improve the quality of our broadcast experience. I have listened very carefully to the leaders of the agent union, and I am considering, once acceptable regulation is in place, whether we will add both VLTs and online revenues as additional sources of agent commission. Turning now to our people, we intend to become a genuine employer of choice for our employees and a partner of choice for agents. We will achieve this by having a clear long-term plan to attract, develop, engage with, and retain the best individuals from both a local and international perspective. This will involve the continuation of a number of successful programs such as OPAP Academy, which together with managing performance schemes and expanding career opportunity development opportunities are expected to improve the level of engagement with our people. Turning now to products, we are lucky enough to have a very broad portfolio. However, here too, there's much work we can do to further improve the level of focus on our existing products and accelerate the introduction of new ones. Managed by a new Chief Product Officer, sports betting will be enhanced with new options and content, while the online offering will be completely transformed, and horse racing, a relatively new product for us, will be reignited within 2017. While we remain hopeful of a launch of VLTs, we're also looking to introduce new games such as Virtuals and possibly Eurojackpot. Through our subsidiary Payzone, we've also been working for some time now to be ready to offer a range of payment-related services throughout the network, and additional non-gaming services will also be assessed so as to best leverage our network and offer an additional source of income to our agents. Linking to the upgrade of our offering with technology, I have to admit that despite the hard work of our IT teams, the role of technology within the company today is simply not appropriate for a large consumer-facing company in 2016. We need to completely transform the role of technology within the company. We will do this by bringing in industry expertise and taking steps to give us more speed and more control in the ongoing delivery and improvement of our products for our customers. We are already in the middle of a formal RFI process to improve our core systems, with an intention to upgrade our technology platforms by no later than the end of 2018. Our digital offer in particular will undergo a complete transformation, also focusing on mobile over the next 12 to 18 months. CSR and community contribution is something that OPAP has actively been focusing on over the last few years, and as such, since my arrival at OPAP, I've been impressed by the significant commitment, most notably in the areas of philanthropic investment. As an example, initiatives like the renovation of two children's hospitals, helping amateur sport, supporting 125 children football academies, and fully funding the Greek Paralympic team, who leave for Rio today, have in our view turned OPAP into probably the largest contributor in Greece. We will continue these initiatives, and on top will ensure that we further improve our responsible gaming policies by working on the ongoing education of both our people and our players. The OPAP brand has a remarkable level of recognition both in Greece and Cyprus, but I believe that there's much more we can do to bring the brand alive. By re-establishing our brand's identity and making the most of our powerful Anthropaki logo, we believe we can further extend the reach and impact of our brand. Finally, as I've already highlighted, OPAP's relationship with its regulator and the Greek government is not how it should be. We are a large professional organization with direct and indirect employment of around 15,000 people, and we annually contribute more than 600 million euros to public finances. Our shareholders include international investors of the kind that Greece is trying to attract. We can also work closely with the government and the relevant competent authorities in tackling illegal gaming for the protection of players and promotion of responsible gaming. It seems strange, therefore, that we should find ourselves in the current predicament. Nevertheless, we understand that in regulated gaming markets, a healthy relationship is an essential element of a company's success, and that is why we have included this area as one of our strategic priorities. We will work to re-establish a much-desired, ongoing, trusted and honest relationship with the Hellenic Republic and the regulator. I have already met with the new chairman of the Hellenic Gaming Commission, who was appointed last month. We had a very positive conversation, during which I took him through the whole of this business review. Like any new manager, I've also been looking to strengthen the OPAP team, and since it is coincidentally the last day of the transfer deadline today, I've decided to make two new signings. First, Michele Fusella as our new Chief Technology Officer, and secondly, Ian Katchik, our new Chief Product Officer. both of whom I've worked with for many years. Both have over 15 years industry experience, and both start officially with OPAP from tomorrow, the 1st of September. Some of the initiatives I've highlighted have already started, while others will commence in the next few weeks and months. I'm acutely conscious that doing fewer things well provides a far greater likelihood of success, and that is why for each strategic priority, we will be limiting the number of specific initiatives that we undertake. Each will also command a clear set of KPIs, and these will be shared in future updates as the individual initiatives take shape. What I have set out today is an outline of the key strategic priorities for the group that will drive us to 2020 and beyond. There is still much detail to be worked through, and we will update you with our progress over the next few months. We know that we will have to battle hard to achieve our objectives. We are also relying on the government and the regulator to take decisive action in the areas of VLTs and online. However, I believe that despite the very challenging external circumstances, OPAP has a bright future ahead. With the hard work and commitment of our people, building strong relationships with all of our other key stakeholders, we can successfully deliver our vision, which in turn should deliver real shareholder value. I've concluded what I want to talk about in terms of the business review, and so we are now ready for any questions. Thank you for your patience and attention.
The first question comes from the line from Mr. Razgatis Stamatis of Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there, and thank you very much for taking my questions. Mr. Kolb, good luck in your new role. I actually have four questions, if I may, please, but maybe you could take one question at a time so as to facilitate the discussion, maybe. So my first question has to do with VLTs. You mentioned that you have met with the chairman of the Gambling Commission, the new chairman. Do you have any sort of indication as to his intentions regarding the pending VLT related matters? You said that you had a positive conversation with him. What does this mean exactly? And what sort of regulatory amendments will you push for in order to basically unfreeze the project?
I have met him. It was my first meeting with him, an introductory meeting, and like I say, very positive. But I'll ask Mr. Ziegler to comment specifically on how negotiations have been going, because clearly there have been discussions for some time.
Thank you, Damien. Just I want to answer the question. Of course, starting from the period when Mr. Karagrigorius started to be officially the regulator, we had some official communication and also related to VLTs. I'm glad that I can say that contrary to some previous calls, when unfortunately I had to mention that there is no reasonable communication with the regulatory body and with the regulator as such, we can see some reasonable approach for potential listening, for potential leading of dialogue, and putting reasonable arguments on the table. But of course, this anyhow premature to comment the current situation and the opinions of Mr. Karagrigoriou about the VLT issue.
Okay, that's clear. And I presume that, just as a follow-up, I presume that discussions will continue. And do you have any sort of timeline as to, you know, when you basically want to kick off the project realistically? I mean,
I just want to say that. One of the outcomes of our meetings with Mr. Karagrigoriou was that we will have the regular communications, and we are both parties or both sides are willing to listen to reasonable arguments from each party and to lead dialogue. This is all what currently we can say to the VLTs, and we anyhow didn't want to speculate about any timeline currently.
That's very clear. Thank you very much. My second question would be, I guess, for Mr. Cope, regarding your key priorities for the business as described in your presentation. Could you maybe give us some more color as to what these entail when it comes to sports betting? I know you briefly mentioned various things in your presentation. I'm just wondering if you could give us some more detail, because it seems that the game has been facing the most challenges given the continuing migration to online channels, and maybe also give us an idea as to what sort of e-gaming penetration you believe you can reach, i.e. what percentage do you believe e-gaming can be within your sports betting mix, let's say in 2 or 3 years time, according to your plan.
Okay, I think there's two questions there. The first one on sports betting, I come from an environment where I've spent time managing businesses in the UK and in Australia particularly, which are very mature, very competitive sports betting industries. And so there's a lot that I know that we can bring from those markets to improve the product itself. We do have two significant limitations. One is the technology that we have at the moment, so obviously we can only do as much as we can with the technology we have, and the other is the relationship on a working basis, on a daily basis, in terms of what new products or what new promotions we are allowed to push out there. But certainly my intention is to use of the best and most relevant elements of successful sports betting offers in other markets and introduce them into the Greek market as soon as I can, subject to the same regulatory or technical restrictions we have.
Okay, and do you I mean do you have any specific target as to digital sports betting for the coming years?
As I said in the presentation, we're looking to transform that over the next 12 to 18 months. Clearly, that is linked to the current RFI process around technology, but I'm pretty impatient, and I would obviously like to do it as soon as possible. The teams are already working now, and Michele Fusella, our new CTO, starts tomorrow officially, has been helping us with some of our plans, but it's certainly a priority for us, and at the moment I can't say any more than the next 12 to 18 months we will have a far superior offering than we currently have today. In terms of, I think your second question was around e-gaming penetration, and again, I wasn't clear whether you were talking about market share or non-sports betting products, gaming products. Do you mind just rephrasing that question?
My question basically referred to, how important you think digital betting will be for you in the next 2 or 3 years. I.e., what percentage of Stoiximia, for example, will be online, and what do you think will be retail? As a target.
I don't have a numerical target right now, but the biggest variable in that is the regulation. So at the moment we have 24 interim licenses, and I struggle to call them licenses because they don't operate in the same way that I would understand regulated licenses to operate, and they compete with us, and we think that is a very uneven playing field. But that to being to one side, we expect digital and the use of our customers of digital channels to significantly increase from the current levels. And like I say, I genuinely don't have any particular target right now. However, we will be setting that as one of our KPIs for our 2020 objective and then milestones along the way.
That's very clear. Thank you. Thank you very much. And third question would be regarding current trading. The business had been hit hard last year due to the imposition of capital controls in Q3. Could you maybe provide some more some granularity on the current trends and whether we have actually seen a pickup in the run rates so far in Q3 given the easy base effect, please?
Let me pick this question. Basically, for sure, because of, let's say, the situation last year with the bank holiday, there is a pickup on let's say year-on-year basis. So let's say we have continued the same trends as in the first two quarters. Yeah, so if you want to do some comparison or forecast, you should focus on, let's say, the trends in the first two quarters, and you should not compare it with the, let's say, Q3 last year, because Q3 last year was exceptional, and I hope it will never repeat and return to Greece again. Anyway, so.
Okay, so to make sure I understand correctly, you are basically saying that compared with a very bad Q3 2015, the business has been performing better.
For sure. You should not compare because it's uncomparable.
Sure. Excellent. Okay. And last question, if I may, please, regarding your regarding the capital structure of the business, you secured some additional financing from the Greek banks in Q2, and you seem to have been gearing up the balance sheet lately. Just wondering, do you intend to make the balance sheet even more efficient, and as you say in the press release, continue to generate even more attractive returns for your stakeholders, in this case the shareholders, and if yes, do you actually have a target leverage in mind which we should be incorporating in our numbers in the future, please?
Yes, at this moment we don't have any plans to lever more the company and to lever more the balance sheet, so I think we are broadly where we want to be. And when we are saying that we wanna, let's say, distribute the bulk of the free cash flow, this is meant the free cash flow that we would generate for the, let's say, ongoing business. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Kourtesis Iakovos of Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and congratulations, Mr. Kopp, on your appointment. I have a number of questions, really. First, as far as I understood for the VLTs, you don't wish to provide a clear time frame, but I'm still tempted to ask, would it be realistic to consider that you are going to resolve any issues till year-end? And is OPAP prepared to take a step back when it comes to certain key reasons of conflict for the VLTs project, like maximum loss, etc.? I don't know if you want to answer this and going through the other questions.
If you allow me, that I will take the question again and I will answer that immediately, because I expect that potentially further questions will be addressed to Mr. Cope. As we said, we really don't want anyhow to speculate and now provide any comments related to VLTs. We are in the process, let's call it the stage where we restart some communication with the regulatory body, and this is all what we can currently provide. And related to the negotiation position or something like that, I think we always said that we are ready to discuss and to operate this project with reasonable, let's call it comparable worldwide parameters and let's call it business assumption. It means that we are committed and we are ready to discuss, but definitely currently we cannot say what is our position and what is not our position. It must be always the potential solution which will be in the interest of company and interest of the shareholders of our company.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Ziegler. If I may ask, going through the presentation of Mr. Kopp, what are your expectations in terms of gross gaming revenues for the new games that you plan to introduce? And could you also walk us through the time plan for the introduction of those? And the second question has to do, how much do you believe that the introduction of the self-service terminals will bring in terms of additional GGR, if you have something like this, like estimate? And what is your broad estimate regarding the investment that needs to be carried there?
Well, as I said at the start of
my talk. I'm not giving any financial forecasts on any of the content, deliberately so. And to be honest, if I did, you'd probably question whether I'd got the models right, because I've only been in the job 2 months, and to have come up with the strategy and done the models in that time, I think would be probably slightly questionable. So I can't give you any financials on any of those. I think what you can do is clearly look at other markets and see the impact. So virtuals have been introduced into markets like Italy, markets like Belgium for the first time, and they've clearly had a positive impact. There's absolutely no guarantee that virtuals in Greece will be successful. My personal belief is that they will, but again, we have to try that out. And certainly on SSPTs, again, they are very well established in most European markets, significantly established over the last 2 to 3 years in the UK. They grew slowly, but have really exploded in the last couple of years, and are now a significant part of every major betting outlet in Europe. So I am confident that they will be well received by customers and agents in Greece and indeed Cyprus. But I'm afraid I can't give you any numbers at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Clare Michael of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of questions related to the quarter. Firstly, the decline in marketing and promotional costs despite the Euros and Olympics taking place. Can you be specific about what's being cut and, you know, whether this is a run rate that can be maintained going forward if we look at the last 12 months? And also to do with the, you mentioned that year-on-year comparisons in 3Q were perhaps, would be very good because of the weak 3Q. But can you tell us, if you take out the impact of the one-time events, the Euros, Olympics, how business is trending quarter-on-quarter, whether you're starting to see an impact in the, you know, or what type of impact from the slowdown in consumer spending. And then bigger picture, there's a, you know, looking through your presentation quickly about the strategy and plans, there's, you know, a lot of discussion about increasing product portfolio, technology, the relationship with the agents, and just trying to get a feel for, is there any CapEx or increased spending that we should expect across the business over the next few years? That's it for me. Thanks.
Yeah. With regards to the first question, the sponsorships. Yeah. So with regards to the sponsorships, for sure we reacted on, let's say, on the situation of the increased taxation and on, let's say, the pressure on the revenues. So we are optimizing mostly the sponsorships contracts, and this is, let's say, kind of long-term process. So and I think, yes, going forward, you could more or less expect these levels going forward. With regards to the second question about the trends and what was the Euro impact, The Euro impact is a little bit exaggerated in the numbers that we have, like in general. So it's very tiny contribution, and so you don't need to be so much bothered that there was some big spike of the revenues coming from Euro. And it was the same last Euro, and it was the same 2 years ago. So if you compare, let's say, the whole revenues of OPAP, it's not so big impact. So I would say. And if we compare this Euro with, let's say, last World Cup and last Euro, we are basically doing better than 2 years ago and 4 years ago in terms of the GGR and NGR. Yeah, so despite the pressures on the, let's say, despite the pressures on the consumers, we are doing actually better in terms of NGR and GGR in sports betting.
Michael, on your questions on the presentation, again, inevitably there's going to be some investment required. We haven't done the work yet to assess what that is. Like any other investment, we'll take a sensible decision and make sure that we think we can get some decent returns. But we won't have visibility on that probably for a couple more months.
Great, that's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Young Ed of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Ed Young at Morgan Stanley. I just got a couple of questions for Damien, if that's okay. I appreciate you can't go into any of the financials. That's obviously fair enough at this stage. But I just wondered if you could give me an idea what you think the potential size of the market might be in terms of SSBTs. You know, when you look at what you know from the other markets you've worked in and that your team have worked in, and you look at the OPAP, you know, the kind of the estate and the possibilities, you know, what sort of size in terms of SSBTs per shop or some kind of measure of density or amount do you think is possible in the market?
Well, I'm going to avoid your question, but I'll try and give you as much information as I can.
Sure.
Look, again, there are different SSBT models around Europe, and I know most of them pretty well. There are models where you stick one SSBT into a bar, as is quite common in Spain. There are models like the UK where you have an unlimited number, and indeed other parts of Europe where often it's just down to space. And in fact, my experience shows that there's a surprising number of SSBTs that you can justify having in a location, and it always seems to be more than is originally forecast. We've got 4,500 shops in Greece and another couple of hundred in Cyprus, all of various different sizes. But the one constant is that our customers love football betting, which is probably the biggest product on sports betting terminals across the whole of Europe. So we already know they like the product. We know that sports betting self-service terminals offer more products, live prices, and for the operator, much more sort of higher legs per bet than a traditional coupon or bet slip route. So on a number of different levels, we think they are an attractive product. Actual density is very hard to assess right now. Again, some of our shops are really very small indeed. So look, clearly I'm expecting that we will have thousands rather than hundreds of these devices across the estate. I genuinely don't have a number right now as to how many thousand. The one thing I would say there is that we will not just be looking at terminals. In the UK and other markets, they went straight to terminals and are now gradually evolving to tabletop devices or wall devices. We will probably introduce a combination of those from the start because we think each of those options appeals to different types of customers and suits different types of environments. So what we're going to try and do is learn from the experience of other markets. And for me, and I've mentioned it several times in the presentation, I think it's a significant priority for us for sports betting. But then again, looking at other products, I would expect that we introduce some kind of self-service transactional devices for gaming products too. So it's not just sports betting. It becomes something that a customer would use for multiple products. And that's how we would see it evolving over time. I think the best guess really is just look at the net increase in sports betting turnover, particularly football turnover, that's been generated in other markets, and you know, use your best guess.
Sure, that's very helpful. Thank you. The other question was I guess slightly related, given that the you know the trend between putting SSBTs in and digital is not completely separate, but you spoke a little bit about the digital where you wanted to get to and sort of the impatience and having already put in RFIs, and obviously you mentioned the appointment of your new CTO. Is it fair to say from all that you're looking for the mainstay of that digital change to be done outsourcing to a sort of to one of the industry suppliers, and then to do a small amount in-house in terms of the speed that you're looking at? Is that sort of a sort of fair overall impression of where your plans lie?
I mean, I can't comment on the RFI process right now, but look, the gambling world, particularly the sports betting world, is moving to an environment where rather than being scared of having some internal resources, organizations are looking to selectively decide which part of the technology is critical for their business and which should be controlled internally. As I've said before, I want more speed and more control. So I think it's fair to say we will have some element of internal control. And again, if you look at, you know, all of the big firms, Hills, Paddy's Betfair, GVC, you know, they all have an element of internal development that gives them that flexibility. I certainly want an element of that. I just don't know yet how much is possible or achievable given what we have on our plate, and also recognizing that there's some very good technology out there from a number of different vendors. So I hope that answers your question, but obviously I can't comment on the outcome at the moment of the RFI process.
No, that's great. I appreciate you. You can't go into detail. That's clear and useful. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Mr. Draziotis Stamatis of Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, again, just a couple of very quick maintenance questions, I guess. First one has to do with the finance cost associated with the two loans you secured in the second quarter, please. And the second one has to do with the amount remaining for the horse racing license.
Look, the first, the interest rates we don't want to disclose, and you can calculate more or less roughly what is the interest cost. And I could just tell you that all the kind of loan facilities we have are more or less at similar conditions. And with regards to the second question, there is the second payment due in January, and it's 20 million euro, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Kourtesis Iakovos of Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, it's about the self-service transactional devices that you plan to introduce. As far as I understand, these devices can be located either inside your current agency network or even outside. Is this correct?
No, that's not correct, and that's not our intention. Our intention is to make the current experience within our OPAP stores more convenient and more attractive, both for our agents and our customers. There's no intention to place these devices outside of our own shop.
Okay, so as far as I understand, the fee that you pay, the current fee that you pay to your agents, will be included. The amount played through the self-service transactional devices will be included in the fee paid to your agents. Is this correct?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean we are. These are attractive for customers, but they help the agents too. They remove some of the administration that an agent has to go through, which allows them to spend more time, helping customers or looking after customers. So it's very much something that will help them, and they will certainly be receiving a commission for any turnover revenues that go through the system.
Thank you very much for the clarification.
Mr. Ziegler, there are no more questions registered at this time. You may now proceed with your closing statements. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this chance, but I feel that the majority of the information were provided today by new CEO, and I feel it's fair that Damian provides this conclusion statements, because we are talking now mainly about the future. So Damian, please.
Thank you, Camille. Thank you to everybody on the call. Again, I hope you found the business review helpful in terms of setting a direction for the organization for the future. We will provide more numbers, of course, in future updates. But again, I just wanted to get provide you with a feel of the way we're going. Once again, thank you for your time today and look forward to speaking to you all individually in the near future. Thank you.